cool. Savage. Ole, ole. See him still in mad. Away. Otumbe. Shole, shole. Check out Jama Wale. Wale. Me love you very long, 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 long. Pass me your love like a ping pong. Ping pong. Cause you ring my bell like a ding dong. Ding dong. Trouble no one. I know the feeling is strong, but you is a bandit. Never love another life.
Hi guys, welcome to Chick Chat Live. I'm Cornelia and I have some special guests in the studio with me today, and we're talking about money versus fulfillment, as well as dealing with inappropriate advances from an in-law. I have the lovely Elaine Shobanjo, who's the head makeup artist of Shomaya.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me. And of course, Somkele Iyama Idalama. Yes. Did I get that right? Who is Nollywood's chief actress extraordinaire, up and coming, TIFF movie. I don't even know, you know, girl, yeah, you're doing your thing.
Well, thank you.
And my former co-host, Shakwa Martin, Smooth 98.1's breakfast host. Thank you for joining me, lady. I'm going to start with you, Elaine.
Why?
Do you agree with money not being everything, or do you feel like there's a balance in between?
Well, I feel like money shouldn't rule your life.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, if you're of a working age and you're working, you're not working to be poor. Mm-hmm. You're working to make sure that you have enough money to do the things that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it becomes an issue if you're ruled by your job. And as I say this, I start to think about my own life. And I'm like, isn't that me?
Yeah.
But then, I just feel money shouldn't be your God. But you can't say you're working to just not have enough money. You, in a sense, you're ruled by it. Not ruled, but you're working for it.
You set up your own, you know, business. You have your makeup line. You do wigs. You do a bunch of beauty stuff.
Yeah.
That is obvious.
Obviously, I want your money for it.
Exactly.
I want your money.
So that's
for
where
it.
I was going
to dash you.
So that is, I guess, fulfillment for you because you quit your job and you started your business.
Exactly.
So was there a point where you felt like you didn't have what you thought you would have, like when you first started?
Oh, of course. Like,
how long did you give it to? Till you felt you were fulfilled.
I had been advised by different people. So, for example, my father-in-law, my dad, you know, they run successful businesses, and they've always let us know that life is not just easy. No one is just going to hand it over to you,
mm-hmm.
even if they have it. You know, like, you have to work for it, and you might fail, but it's mm-hmm. important that when you fail, you stand up and you keep going. You keep going. So mm-hmm. when I started, there were times where I went from earning a salary, working every day, to hoping I get a job on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you're thinking, Jesus, how many pounds am I going to get this Saturday
mm-hmm.
times four Saturdays, and that's your income for the month.
Month.
You know, so you really do want to give up. But then I just kept remembering their words, like, you know, at the end of the day, just give it time.
Mm-hmm.
People might even leave you. Relationships might break up,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to, you will get there.
Okay.
So for me, it was a journey. So I wasn't putting that much pressure on myself because I knew I was on a journey. I wasn't trying to be the best person in a month.
Right.
You know, and even when I started, the person I was in the first year, the quality of work I used to do is very different from the quality of work I do now. So I feel it's important to not, you know, just give yourself some time. Let your business grow.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody tells you in the first year of business, you're going to make a loss or something. In the second year, you'll break even.
Mm-hmm.
In the third year, you might make a profit. You know, all those sort of things. So just chill.
Take your time.
Try to make that
money fast.
I'm
going to move over to you.
Okay.
You're a creative, obviously, mm-hmm. an actor. And do you feel like you were okay resting on your laurels, or was there ever a time where you felt you were grossly underpaid for, you know, you were devalued?
When you're in the creative business, it's, you can never ever think that you're getting paid what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just standard. Even when you're in business, I happen to be in both.
Mm-hmm.
So you never quite always feel like you're getting what you want. So I've had to take on jobs when I'm... There are jobs I've taken on that I technically made a loss because
mm-hmm.
this is an industry that demands so much from you with time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
So you have very crazy hours. You're probably not eating well. And if you want to eat on set, sadly enough, we're not there yet where we have this platter. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get to pick what you want.
Yeah.
I don't have that name just yet to mm-hmm. be able to make that call. So I have to prep myself way ahead of time. I have very crazy discipline, 4 a.m. waking up, working
mm-hmm.
out, doing this and doing that. And everybody thinks you're extra. Are you the first?
Mm-hmm.
But it's what you want to put in front of the screen. There's so much that goes on behind to get ready to be in front. So all that, who's paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you never quite feel that you're getting paid what you want. But when you know exactly like what she said, it's when it's a journey, you know that.
So you're patient with the journey. So you acknowledge that regardless of the talent that you have, sometimes the money just doesn't add up.
Yeah, and there's always someone better, and there's always someone who's ready to do the job. Mm-hmm. So you can't keep thinking, oh, you know what, I'm not getting paid what I deserve, so I'm leaving set, and you know, you can't do that.
So you have to be patient. What's your timeline when it comes to patience?
I gave myself an arbitrary timeline in my head, and I think some angels picked it up. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, leaving university, I said, moving back here, I'm going to give myself 5 years to figure out whether I'm going to go heading into my acting or go with my academic career. And I've balanced both. And I said, when I'm balancing both, by the fifth year, I should know exactly where I stand.
5 years is a long time, girl.
This is my fifth year, and I've gotten quite a lot of recognition. So I think that that choice was made. And I actively worked in both areas. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I left one for the other. I need to call a lot of sacrifice. I kid you not. Like, you know, when you're running from the office, and you're grabbing this bag, you're like, please don't tell Oga, please, I'm coming. I'll be back in 2 seconds. And then you spend the whole day. You know, you've had to literally buy some favors and just stay humble at it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know how you said you're not eating on set?
You're looking good, girl.
Don't get ready for those. I know,
right? So, Shopsy, I'm going to come to you. I obviously know what you do. Have you defined what is good for you in terms of either scope of work, so when it comes to like the money versus being fulfilled, scope of work, or what salary within that scope of work is comfortable for you to say, okay, I think this money is enough for me, or the fulfilling side of things are enough for you, the scope of work is enough for you? Have you defined that for yourself?
I would love to say that I've defined it, but here's the thing. In my industry, in my line of work, it's not about the money. Mm-hmm. And it's patently obvious when you get paid. But it's about the long-term plan. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I factored in when I decided that I was going into broadcasting. Mm-hmm. It was about, is this job going to take you where you want to go? Is this what you see coming for you 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line? Is this what you want to do? Does this fit into your plan? And it does. So I think there is that balance. And you know, going back to money isn't everything, I have a problem with that statement. I think that that statement is just something that people with money say because if you have enough time to say that, you have enough money to say that, because money isn't everything until you don't have
get that
money.
Next paycheck.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. When you're living week to week, month to month, money becomes everything, and it defines a lot of what you do. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is a balance that you can find between doing what you love and making the money that you need to make. And also, you can be... People say complacent like it's a bad word. It doesn't necessarily need to be a bad word. If you are happy doing what you do, if you don't, not everybody has that hustler's ambition. I know we're in a city of hustlers, but not everybody has that ambition to be the next titan of industry, the next amazing media mogul, whatever. If you're happy doing what you love and you're getting paid enough to put some money in your savings account, you can be okay doing just that.
I agree and I don't agree. Well, somebody told me this once, that when you hire a job, you hire it for obviously the financial aspect. It's fulfilling, it's paying your bills, it's doing what, it's keeping you alive. And then there's the other emotional aspect, where is it fulfilling me? Am I growing? Am I learning anything? Is it challenging me? And when it no longer serves that purpose, you need to leave. On the other side, I feel when you pursue a creative career where you don't have that earning stability and bills still need to be paid, money becomes everything.
Well, not necessarily for me. I think I just try to balance both.
Okay.
As much as I want to be fulfilled as a domestic person, I also want to be fulfilled as career-wise. A career person. So to me, it's always balancing both out.
But do you think you can only say that because you have a supportive spouse that allows you to follow that path of fulfillment?
I would have to have that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So for someone whose primal focus is the home, they don't really need support anywhere else but in the home. You know, but for someone who has other dreams outside the home, you would need somebody who would balance that out. You know, you just, and because I feel like I won't be my best at home if I don't have you also there with me out there. You know, because I'm not optimum. I'm not the best I could possibly be. You know, because if I'm putting up face at home, okay, I'm all great, and then the moment you leave the house, I'm a depressed mess. I can't even be there for my child,
right?
You know, so I feel like, not for women, I wouldn't say that it's flexibility. I would love a job who would pay me and I can be home, but I can't have that.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's not so much flexibility, but it's both.
Right.
Actually, what you just said, you'd have a job who could pay you that well and you'd be home. Mm-hmm. So even if I had a job paying me that much,
I don't want to be home.
I don't want to be home. Like, not that I don't want to be home. I love my husband. I love my children, but I want to work.
Yes.
I really want to work. Yeah. I get a lot of fulfillment from working, and then the fulfillment also comes from seeing the money come in. So somehow they're tied
they
together.
Tied together. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that being said, given the economic uncertainty that we are faced with, how would you advise women who are managing? Because I find that sometimes the man seems to be the one with the ambitious career going, providing, especially in the terrain that we're in. Yeah. Women do a lot, but traditional sense has the man sort of being the breadwinner.
Yeah.
How would you advise women to match, you know what I mean, their spouses and sort of maximize their earning potential?
You know, look, I'm a mom of two and I don't take for granted what any mother does. You know, like when I had my son and my husband would go to work and come back, I say to him, I bet I've had a more tough day than you have.
Yeah.
Like with the baby. Yeah. And he used to think, what's she talking about? She's at home, AC's on, everything's chilling. You know, because I was still on maternity leave, so to speak.
Mm.
But I still believe my day was tougher than if he had gone to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, I still felt like my day was tougher than this, you know? So I feel like it's very, so having said that, a mom like is a full-time job, and I respect every mom who just does that. However, it's so important. Like, I had a friend whose husband passed away in a plane crash some years back, and I was just watching her, and I was thinking, I had just moved back to Nigeria, and I was thinking, if this girl didn't know anything, like you don't know who the diesel man is, you don't know you don't know any of these things, you're just screwed because this one person has been removed from your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started my business, I could speak generator KVA, AC plus power, XYZ. And I just liked that I knew these
things.
About
them.
Because if my husband isn't at home, I hope it's just because he's traveled, God forbid. But if he isn't at home, I feel like I can still carry my own weight. And it's just important for women to know, even if your husband is giving you the money to do these things, know the contacts.
There's some people, you know, there's some traditional women that'll tell you, the first day you start paying that bill, you will continue to pay it for the rest of it. So there are actually women who have that strategy where they're like, I don't know
it.
I'm not touching, I don't want to know who.
There's one other thing.
Okay, you can pretend to know.
If you know too much now, they might ask you to join in the payment tomorrow. So you don't want to know, but you know, just have an idea, because you don't want to be completely caught like off guard like that, in my opinion. But I feel like every woman, no matter what, even when you're just running the home, you need to have your own money. I'm not, I don't know how, if I have to ask you every day, please, I need 1,000 for plantain. And then, hey, I need 1,000. And then you're now forming big guy for me or something. You know, you just have to just have
your own.
Your own, just a little bit. I don't know how you're going to make it.
Or take it when he's giving you school fees, just be pocketing something to the side until you can get yourself together.
You just have to have your own.
So, Shakwe, I'm going to come to you. Thank you. I'm going to come to you and talk about flexibility. You get off fairly almost before midday. So you have enough time. That is like, for me, ultimate job to sort of have many hustles on the side. If it was the other way, say you were married, you were in a relationship, and you had a guy who left work around midday, or it's seemingly you're probably doing other things after you leave work, would you be able to handle that if he was fulfilled? So you have a guy who's okay where he is, he's not holding you back from pursuing your own dreams, you know what I mean? Would you be fine if that was your partner, or you feel like this fulfillment thing, it's not for you, it's for me, you go get the money, you know what
because
I mean?
Because I have to say, when I was talking about fulfillment, I was thinking about me. I'm not sure about him. You know, I think it's just this thing that society has. The men are supposed to be the ambitious ones. They're supposed to be the go-getters. They're supposed to be the breadwinners.
Is that fair, though?
I don't think so.
Because surely that's the ultimate when you reach fulfillment. That's what we all, you know, in creative, you've found something that you love that pays as well, and you can kind of balance it till you get to where you want to go to. With a guy, fulfillment was...
See, theoretically, I want to be the person who says that's fine by me. I think practically, that might not be
fine. I think, on the other hand, that it depends on the woman. And I think we honestly need to sit down when we're going into a life partner, a choice of some kind of companion forever, a forever companion, and really see who matches you. We think just innately the man should be the fast-paced guy. You should be just busy. As in, let me call you and just say, baby, I need to call you back. But sometimes you might not want that because I need to actually say I'm busy.
And both of us can be too busy. If we want, and then, again, it's the home you're trying to build. Do you guys want kids? Not everybody wants children. So what do you want? And actively pursue that with wisdom and logic. Love, wisdom, logic.
So you believe you have to be strategic as well.
I think so. That's just as strategic as you are with your career, you need to be that too with
your choice of match.
Your choice of
partner.
It's a yin and yang situation. You need to find the person that matches you and complements you. So that if you're the type of person who wants to be fulfilled, then they can be the ambitious one and be going out and, you know, getting that.
I think an ambitious, non-ambitious guy is a no-no. Not just for me, but for anybody. Why? Because this non-ambitious man is going to have children looking
even
up to him.
Even if he's earning enough to...
But I mean, what is non-ambitious?
Yes, because then you're saying that all that's important is money. But it's not just money. It's how you make your money as well that's important. So if you have a guy who has all the money in the world, but is at home playing computer games at 12 o'clock and at 1 o'clock.
It just doesn't look right
because
there,
the wife is going to look at you like... This guy's just at home every day. But fine, okay, the money's there. And then the children as well, you're not teaching them values in terms of, guys, you need to go and work really hard to make this money. Do you know what I mean? It's different when you've retired, even if you retire at 40.
So it's a sacrifice.
And you're playing golf in the afternoon or whatever. But at least just, I don't know, look busy or something. I don't like guys that are not busy.
And that's the thing, I can tell you clearly, her personality likes a guy. I kid you not. If you took time, I feel like we should tell a lot of girls, because I'll say it, we don't necessarily get the long end of the stick. Take your time, travel and find out what you are about. Because if you are the kind of person who needs to look up to the man, don't take an unambitious guy.
Or a guy that is looking for fulfillment.
However, though, I have to say something, because now we're looking at it all from the terms of money, which makes it money is everything. But money isn't everything. If we're talking about an unambitious guy in the business sense, what if he's the type of man who wants to stay at home, who wants to spend more time with his children?
I want to stay at home, father.
Sorry. No, that's so good. You're staying at home and everything. But are you working
from
home?
He's got his savings.
She goes, are you working?
I think most Nigerian women, they're not taking
Well, you guys heard it here. Find your passion, maximize your earnings. Don't depend on the guy for everything. But we're going to go on to the hot topic of the day and we'll be right back.
Our topic of the day is dealing with inappropriate advances from an in-law. Here's the story. My brother-in-law lived in the States for a while and came home to Lagos to spend a little time with his family. He's staying with my hubby and I for a month, which seemed like a reasonable inconvenience when he first asked. We had a small welcome home party for him, and I was hostess for the night. It was a fun night with a generous consumption of alcohol by most guests, lots of good jokes, and great music. I don't drink much, so I stepped into the kitchen to get water and another round of snacks for the crew, and my brother-in-law followed shortly behind me. I opened the fridge, and the next thing I felt was a firm slap on my ass, followed by this statement, "Damn, woman, you get correct particulars." I was in shock, but for some reason I couldn't scream. I was temporarily speechless and couldn't believe I had such a delayed reaction. What manner of man is this? After what seemed like a long minute, I grabbed his throat and told him if he ever tried that shit again, I would mark his face. I went back to the party not wanting to make a scene or be dramatic, but I was uncomfortable the whole night and couldn't believe I had another 3 weeks with this man in my house. I'm wondering how and if I should tell my husband. Should I stomach it for the next 3 weeks or tell my husband to send him packing now? Is that too dramatic? I'm also tempted to say nothing at all, since I've already put him in his place, but that could be risky. When dealing with inappropriate advances from an in-law, there is indeed an awkwardness to telling your partner the truth about a family member. And at what expense? They may not want to believe you, or you could be the cause of bad blood amongst siblings. What should I do?
Welcome back, guys. You guys have heard the story. Now let's hear what our studio guests have to say.
What would you do in that situation if, you know,
if this happened
your husband's
me?
Brother just came and slapped your ass and
he
then says...
He can't be well.
would you have the same reaction? And would you tell your husband?
I think I would, first of all, I don't think I would instantly, like, attack him. But I know I'm going to look at him like, I don't understand, are you out of your mind? And then I'm going to go, I'm like, you better go tell your brother because I'm about to.
immediately.
Oh yeah. If everyone, maybe I'll leave it till
everybody
was quiet and everything, but I'm gonna be like, we need to talk. This is what your brother did. I don't know whether he was smoking something, but mm-hmm. I'll definitely let my husband know, because to me, I don't want to be the one to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I don't want that stress on me. Mm-hmm. You didn't rape me. You just touched me the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I need you and your brother, all of you guys, to take that stress on, because I don't want to have that. I know this brother isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. He's going to keep being part of the family mm-hmm. and everything. So in a way, I already know that we have to move past it mm-hmm. and cut it before it gets any worse. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I want my husband to know so that he and his family members can deal with that, so to speak.
So, Samson, I'm going to come over to you. Now, would you worry about sort of creating bad blood between siblings? Because I think that's a very important part, depending on the dynamics of the family. Mm-hmm. If maybe they already think you're salacious, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're going to say something and they're saying, hey, she's the one that seduced him.
Right.
You know, so I understand how some people will feel trapped and feel like they can't tell. Mm-hmm. Are you an advocate for staying silent or speaking the truth?
No, I'm always an advocate for speaking the truth. However, I do always... think of how someone else might feel. Mm-hmm. I would definitely, because my siblings and I are ridiculously close.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want a situation whereby I'm the reason for something going wrong.
Wrong.
But however, I wouldn't want him to go out and do this to someone else who won't take it.
Right.
So to me, I would still fall back on, we're family. Mm-hmm. We deal with each other's mess. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to have to deal with this one. Mm-hmm. I would definitely like say some heavy words to him.
Would you have grabbed him in the throat?
The thing is, I know. Just thinking about, I'm getting flustered just by the thought of it. But I'm not physical. I honestly don't know how to hit. I hit my son sometimes when he's misbehaving. But I don't know how to
fight. Violent, yeah.
You know, I'm not physical. But I will say some. I don't use cuss words, so I would really try and ask, is there something wrong? Is there a reason why I did that? And I think I would feel personally violated.
Definitely.
It is
of my body.
A violation.
You can't
slap
it anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
No, you can't even think of slapping. Yeah. So for you to have thought of it to the point that you're now slapping it, what is
quite degrading.
You okay?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Exactly.
No.
So Shakwe, over to you. So my question is, so he has 3 weeks left to stay in the house. Obviously, she has to now put up with him for 3 years. Yeah. Would you put him out immediately or would you deal with him for the rest of the 3 weeks?
Here's the thing. It all goes back to telling or not telling. Mm-hmm. Because if I've told this is place, he's going. He's gone.
Yeah.
So once you tell, he has to leave.
Okay. Thank you.
I think you would have to.
No, because you tell if your husband is kind of like, ah, he didn't mean it. You know what I mean? Because he can blame it on I was drunk, I didn't, you know what
so
I mean?
So he cannot mean it from outside of the home.
Okay, so he has to go.
Yes, he has to go. That's if I've told that. If I haven't told.
So what?
How do we get him out? Without
that means you have
suspicion?
To put up with him.
You'd have to put up with him if you didn't tell.
So what if you told your husband and he just said he was drunk? Would you still feel like you weren't championed or, you know what I mean? If he just says, oh, he didn't mean it, he was drunk, he said he's sorry. You know my brother and I, it's not like that. You know what I mean? Would you feel disrespected if your brother still chose to have him in the home? Like, where is he going to go?
Yes. I think I would. I definitely, in fact, no, not even think. I mm-hmm. definitely would, because it's supposed to be the two of you mm-hmm.
against whoever
it is that's coming your mm-hmm. way. Okay. And here's the thing. I come from a really, really close family. Like me mm-hmm. and my siblings are like 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't find one without finding the other. So mm-hmm. I just don't know.
See, that's
I've been
the thing. Because
ever since
it's
I heard this story.
Let's find out what our chicks in the streets had to say.
Money suffer coming. Money so
I will scold him in different angles. I'm going to tell him the repercussion of the onset of his attitude. Patting my bum, and you really know I was married to your brother or your cousin or whoever, or your family, is not ideal. I will tell him on the spiritual aspect of it. That is adultery. Wanting me to commit adultery with him is not biblical. It's not part of biblical principle. I'm going to tell him on the social aspects that do you want to cause a rancor between your brother and I? I will not relate it to anybody.
I would say the lady should tell the husband, because we might just say it's just a slap, and later the guy might just say something else to the husband, like your wife is not this, is not that, and you know that's a very, very wrong move. So the best thing for her to do is just tell her husband and make the husband understand that in case any other thing happens, at least she has done the first thing that should be done. So then I would advise that guy should leave that night. That night, yes, immediately, yes. In fact, that party has to end. The end of party. Let's go. Yes. Everybody should go.
I think it would very, very be an immature thing to extend the there's no need for noise.
I can understand how you're feeling, but then if to be honest, it depends on also the relationship you have mm-hmm. with the brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. So if this was real, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of my brother-in-law who's about my age, mm-hmm. we have such a cool relationship that I'm going to be like, something must have really gone wrong with your head today, because mm-hmm. it's not, I wouldn't expect it from you. Mm-hmm. And he and I can actually even squash it without my husband knowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You get? So it depends on the sort of relationship
you have.
But if you're like some random brother-in-law that is wild and mm-hmm. everybody expects this from you and you've been known to do all these kind of crazy things, then it's different. Maybe then we have to make it a bigger mm-hmm. picture. But
I think that's a good explanation of it. Yeah. But I know that this has happened to, I mean, it's happened to me personally, but you know, we ain't going to go into details. When it happens and it's a friend's husband or a friend's sister's husband, you know, because there's some men that do try.
Yeah.
Do you kind of hold back because you don't want to destroy that relationship? Because women are funny. You tell the woman something now, she will cut you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not the husband, it's you.
So you see, when it comes to telling the husband, it seems easier to tell your husband. Yeah. But when it comes to telling
your friend
about what her man did, it's like,
hands up, I will not tell my friend. I will not tell my friend. I'll leave it for another braver friend to tell my friend. For me, when it comes to the whole friend and husband situation, mm-hmm. I think it is just a no-go area mm-hmm. in the sense that something will have to give in this three-way relationship. Because if you think about it, that marriage is supposed to be for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's gone to church, to the registry, to mm-hmm. wherever, and she said, you and I are going to be together for better or for mm-hmm. worse. Mm-hmm. So if somebody, her friend, is bringing in the news of the worst,
she's
going to have to stay with the husband.
They weren't married, I guess it was easier for me. And they had just
I think when it is a marriage situation, I would pull back as much as possible. Because I think there are even people who, I'm not loose with you, I saw your husband here, what's your business?
I mean, you saw him, just see him.
There's no need to, you know, be too. I saw your husband doing that. Just leave it.
You're a private detective.
But I would confront him though. If he did that to me, I would confront him directly. I would tell the guy that, listen,
I'll
put him in his place.
Yeah, there's got to be something.
Because I've told a friend before that her boyfriend was cheating. I found it, I knew that he loved her very much. Mm. I found it very disrespectful because, you know, I knew about it and, you know, she wasn't really part of the crew. So she was a bit distant. I just felt he was taking the mic, like, why are you doing this thing in front of me now? No. So everybody knew it was me that said. But they're married today. So, ever since then, I just decided, okay. In summary, everybody is saying that you should tell. Because I think there's something fundamentally, for me, disrespectful if, as a man, I mean, back to the story, you come into my home. I mean, this is your husband. You know what I mean? Like, this is your brother's home. They probably have kids, presumably have kids. And then you do that to his wife. Like, I just feel like that level of disrespect just cannot be entertained.
It can be forgiven, but please don't.
Yes, it can definitely be forgiven. You can. But if he's like that, like you were saying, if that's the way everybody knows him to be, then maybe he just shouldn't have been in that house for 3 weeks. I would have just put up my hand there. Nope. That brother can't call.
Think about the family that you've married into, because it's all about the way they treat each other. Mm-hmm. And it's, you're the outsider in this mm-hmm. situation. You guys might be one, but you're the outsider. He brought you into the family.
Yeah.
So if you are looking and you have seen the way the family bands operates together mm-hmm. whenever somebody from outside tries to tell them something or tries to do something, just think of the worst outcome and say, can I handle this? Mm. Because if this is a family that will believe only each other and then you're now coming and you're telling a different story, this mm-hmm. is what your brother did.
So, Sample, you've mentioned using wisdom a number of times. So what would the wisdom be? If you have a personality that is impulsive, because I know my body is catching, I know I would want to address it immediately because I would be stewing inside. Yeah. What would be the wise approach if you are going to tell? Do you go to the mother-in-law first?
Right.
Or do you go directly to your husband first?
Oh, no, it would have to be the person I call my partner.
Yeah.
What if there's no mom? What if there's nobody else? It would have to be him. Right. And I would, again, if I have a relationship with him, I'm like, is something wrong? Mm-hmm. And it might even be a situation whereby I would keep quiet about it at dinner. Mm-hmm. I would say that this happened earlier with my husband there and leave them to then discuss it.
Oh, so you would say in front of him and your husband?
And my husband, yeah.
Ooh, then take that jollof rice.
And take your jollof rice and go upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Go upstairs. I'm like, let them, because then you leave it in their hands in their to sort it out. And he can then, I mean, because it's so impulsive, you're not prepared to defend yourself or not.
Yeah.
So you would see the natural reaction and then you would know who was telling the truth.
Because he can't say, if you do it in front of him, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Because he can't say, and that's not what happened. Why did she tell you? You know what I'm saying? If you're saying it in front of him, he can't tell you that's not what happened because you're there.
Yeah. He can.
Girl, you wise.
We pray about it.
Well, guys, you can join the conversation by using the hashtag ChickChatLive. If you have a topic suggestion, you can join the tribe by subscribing. Social media info is on the screen below. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.